But broking is a cyclical business, we all know. So there are ups and downs, but that's okay. Till the time people are focused to do a long-term investment, I don't see that the flow of customers coming to the capital market, especially the younger generation, will stop. This is the first thing. Secondly, as you rightly said, there is competition, and broking as a space was always competitive with more than 100 brokers. It is good now that industry is getting consolidated and you have handful of 4-5 people who are cornering 75% to 80% of the incremental market. But broking and investing as a space has a huge potential. Though this is the first time after so many years that we have seen the kind of demat account growth, and hence we see that, you know, it might be short-lived, or some competition will take away all. But I see that there is a room for 4 to 5 players to grow exponentially, at least for some time, and corner the market share, and that will continue. As far as burning money is concerned, I think there are tons of examples that burning money doesn't lead to revenue. At the end of the day, what matters is that whether your product is good, whether people are happy with the entire experience on your product, are they investing properly through your company, and whether that is resulting into revenue and profits. If that is in place, I think the model is strong. So until that time, I won't be worrying about someone spending crores of rupee on large sponsorships, or spends on advertisement, or giving freebies right, left, and center. I think at the end of the day, people are smart. They understand, and no one will invest money just because someone is giving a freebie or someone is playing an ad on television. People invest wisely. They look at platform, they look at credibility of the player, and then they invest their money. So I think that's something which I should not be getting blindsided with. We are very focused on our strategy and will continue. And I think there's a good amount of room for us to be in that group of brokers who corner the larger market share and grow revenue.
Yes, sir. Just a follow-up on the second question, sir, if you can give some color on competition.
I'm sorry, if you can just come back in the queue, I think there will be more
people. Yeah, sure, I'll do that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, sir.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Jeetu Punjabi from Capital Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jeetu, there are two questions. One, this whole competitive intensity scaling up significantly, how did that translate in terms of CAC for your customers in the last quarter, for your customer acquisition costs? That's question one. Question two is, in your opening comments, you said that you've now raised 250 crores and there's a whole game plan around it in terms of being a bigger, wider digital player. Can you just articulate what that new game plan looks like and what are the implications going to be on the business?
I just want a clarification on your first question. You said the CAC impact because of what?
Because of the competitive pressure. So the point is that there's so much competition out there, so obviously it would translate into higher CAC is my guess. So just trying to calibrate that, how has CAC moved last quarter relative to previous quarters?
See, CAC, if you see our, month-on-month CAC is coming down. If you see for the entire year, the competition was definitely intense for almost last entire year. But from a 1483 of CAC, we have gone down to 897. By end of March, we were at around 875. So our CAC is consistently reducing. And our strategy of getting more acquisition through referral channels, organic, has actually helped us to reduce our CAC and at the same time increase the customer acquisition. So I think there is not much of an impact of competition on the CAC. On the second question of fundraise, as I said that the entire fundraise will be utilized towards making our products and our infrastructure stronger. We will invest into technology, analytics, data analytics, and AI is a vast field that requires capital, and that is something that we'll invest into. Customer acquisition definitely is at the core of our expansion strategy, that we want to acquire more customers than what we acquired this year. So there the money will go. And with the regulatory changes, there's a lot of money which is required for running, for as a working capital for the business. So it will also be invested there. So broadly, these are the places where the money will be invested.
Okay. And is there a, in that entire plan, is there a new aspects to business that will be brought in, a new, you know, new business segments within the broader segment coming in and new things you'd be doing?
So, so definitely, I mean, one of our, you know, a subsidiary company where we launched the business was in peer-to-peer lending. So that is something that we will focus this year for scale up. We have launched few products. I think more than the new lines of businesses adding, we will focus on the products that we have already launched. And that is, these are the products that we would focus on growing. And, but yeah, there would be some smaller products here and there, but I am not looking at a, you know, completely new line of businesses. I think it is important that whatever products that we have built, we use wisely to grow the business in coming year.
Okay. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Saurabh Gokhale from Trivantage Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, good afternoon. This is Saurabh Dhole. I have a couple of questions. So the first one is, if you can talk a little bit about how flexible is the cost structure in the business? Because as we know that this business can, you know, the volumes can decline 50%, 60% on a YY basis in no time. So to that, to combat such kind of volatility, what kind of cost levers can you pull and at what level will you, you know, kind of not... will you stop breaking even?
So if you see out of our, you know, 37 crores of cost, practically 40% of the cost goes into acquiring customers. So that's a you know, flexible cost. But on the fixed side of it, apart from that, there is investment in technology, which is more or less, you know, stable cost, which is not dependent on revenues or customer acquisition. But, no, that's the beauty of digital business, that your fixed cost is, you know, lesser to run, you know, business once your tech infrastructure and your product is stable. But what is floating is predominantly the cost attached to the customer acquisition. So, in event of, you know, markets going substantially down, which I don't foresee or I don't keep my fingers crossed, but in that case, the only, the cost which will be impacted is the balance 50% of the cost, which is fixed.
Right. And sir, my second question was with respect to these P2P loans, could you just talk a little bit about how, for what purposes are these given and, you know, who are our partners here? Because this is different from the allied broking income, which includes margin funding, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. See, our peer-to-peer lending business is a completely, you know, different business, has no correlation with our existing broking and definitely not margin funding. So at this point in time, it is at a very nascent stage, but these are pure, you know, unsecured lending, which is nothing but a personal loan right now or a working capital loan to MSME and SME. So that is a section of borrowers that we, you know, target. And these are, you know, low-ticket loans from around as low as 50,000 to 1 lakh, 1 lakh 50,000. So, you know, that's that. But it is normally an unsecured personal loan which people take.
And our partners here would be NBFCs, right?
No, we are an NBFC. No, we don't have a partner. We are an NBFC. So the way peer-to-peer lending works is that we are a platform and we provide the platform for borrowers and lenders to come. So lenders are individual you know, customers who want to lend money and earn interest. At the same time, you have borrowers who have money, who have need for the money. And we just become a platform which marry them.
Okay. And so just one last question. If you could talk a little bit about the activity levels of your clients. So you've already mentioned that you have about 8-9 lakhs of active clients. But in a rapidly growing, you know, business like yours, I don't know how, you know, how reflective that is of, you know, what kind of customers you're bringing and whether the acquisition cost that you've spent over the quarters, is that paying off? So any other metric that you probably track in order to, you know, ensure or in order to have an evaluation of whether you're doing a good job or not? Any comments there?
Yeah. So see, when we are growing, you know, we've added 8 lakh customers last year. So like 60-65% of our total customer base is acquired in the last 12 months. So it is difficult to predict in terms of how the activity percentage will be. But the best way to you know, track is that how much time am I recovering the entire cost that we are incurring to acquire a customer. And if that, so that is ranging between anywhere of 9 to 10 months. So if that continues, then, you know, we internally, that's the way we track that, okay, fine, you know, things are fine if it is 8 to 10 months of recovery of our acquisition cost. And that is what we are right now looking at.
Right, sir, right, sir. So I have a few more questions, but I will join back with you. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Vaibhav Kacholia from VK Capital. Please go ahead.
So I wanted to inquire, what is the kind of revenue which we generate per customer per year kind of thing?
Revenue per customer per year.
Yeah.
That is somewhere in the range of around... Yeah, sorry?
And how does that compare with other industry competitors? I think some of the leading players have close to 10,000 rupees per year per customer.
Okay. So, unfortunately, as far as competition is concerned, there is hardly any data in the competition. Which is listed are all full-service brokers. So, it is difficult to compare, you know, full-service broker to a discount broker purely because of the, you know, difference in the brokerage that we charge. So, definitely 10,000 is not the number that discount broking has. But, you know, I don't have the other competition data. In our case, it is anywhere in the range of around 1,500 to 2,000 rupees is what we get by a customer in a year, around 2,000 rupees.
Okay, got that. And my second question was, you said like you see 4 or 5 players being able to do very well and capture a large part of the market. So, like, you are treating us as one of these players, and who, like, what? How are you segmenting the market when you are treating this us as one of the top 5 players?
So one of the 5 players, the 6th player is basically the NSE active client data. That is the one that we do. But the large segmentation is basically a full service or a discount broker. So, you know, brokers who are charging percentage are full service brokers. So, you know, ICICI Direct or Motilal Oswal or Share Khans of the world. But other people who are charging fixed brokerage, flat fee per order are discount brokers. So that's broad bifurcation of brokers.
So you are treating us as one of the leading players in the discount space?
Yes.
Okay, right. Got that. Thank you.
Welcome back, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. So we have a follow-up question comes from Mr. Aditya Shah from Arctic Lights Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah, hi. Yes.
Yeah, so I just have a follow-up question. You spoke about how some of our competitors are doing a lot of advertising and all. So can you tell me a little bit more specifically what we are planning to do to improve our visibility?
You'll have to wait for that answer. It will take some time. You know, but okay. Frankly speaking, the way we are acquiring customers is predominantly through organic and referral, and we and through our, you know, partnerships and strategic alliances. So that is the way we will continue. But yes, you know, there will be a part of building our brand, and that will require some branding expenditure that we will do. But it is too premature for me right now to speak about that. You'll have to wait for some time to you know, get that answer.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. That was my last question.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Deepak Saloni from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Deepak here. So thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to have an understanding about how our company charges an interest rate for our MTF client?
So we charge 0.06% per day,
okay,
as an interest to the customer. So for whatever number of days the customer keeps the debit, it is charged on a per day basis.
Okay. And so my second question is, can you give some color regarding the yield for our equity broking and derivatives? And within equity, can you just elaborate on yields on intraday or delivery trades?
So, we charge flat 20 rupees on every trade, be it intraday or delivery or derivatives or cash segment. So that's flat for us. So that's 20 rupees per order.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Swet Shah from AMS Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have a couple of follow-up questions. So one was, sure. I was just looking at the results and the investor presentation. And if you could just help me figure out how the revenue is bifurcated. I mean, if I look at the results which have been uploaded, we've broken up in two parts, the revenue from operations. One is interest income, other is fees and commission. But in the presentation, we've broken it out segment-wise, like broking, allied broking, cross-sales, P2P, and yeah, other operating. So if you could just help me match these numbers, like what actually constitutes as interest income and what goes as fees and commission, sir?
So we have to follow Schedule 6 as per Companies Act, in which we have to segregate our income into two parts on the face of it, which is the interest income as well as the fees and commission. However, here it is the investor presentation, we have bifurcated into different sections. So if you interest on MTF, which we get from the customer, that is a part of our allied broking income, that plus our other operating income, that will become an interest in the result table.
Okay, that is the interest income. Okay.
Yes.
Understood. So everything else is obviously the part of the fees and commission. Okay, perfect.
Yes.
The other thing, will you be able to give me a breakup as to, like, you know, we have 8.7 lakh active customers, right, sir?
Yeah.
So two things I wanted to know. So how do we define a customer as active? Okay. And second, if you could give me a breakup out of this active customer, how much of them, like percentage of these customers who only do cash mm-hmm. equity, like cash segment? And how many of these do trading only in F&O segment, sir?
So, see, active customer is defined as someone who trades at least one trade in a year. That's how, NSE defines active customer, which, everyone tracks. And second is, of that active customer, I won't have the exact percentage breakup, but predominantly, close to 70 to 80% of the customer trade in cash segment. A section of that, and the balance trade in derivative, and they also would be trading in cash. But large section of customers are trading in cash segment only.
Okay. And the cash would be typically intraday, or would it be delivery based?
It would be intraday and delivery both.
Okay. But higher would be intraday, I'm assuming. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And just one more question, sir. Our cost of acquisition, if I look at the investor presentation, we quoted as the cost of acquisition 3,300 in FY19. And sir also mentioned in the opening comment that 1483 we've gone down. So if I look from FY18, from 3,300 we've come down to 897 rupees, right? So if you could help us understand how we were able to bring down the cost of acquisition to 897 rupees, and what are the key two or three things that we really did over past 3-4 years, to get this number, sir?
So there are multiple factors which have resulted into this lower cost of acquisition. The first and foremost is that, how are we acquiring customers? So basically our spends on marketing, advertising, the way our customer base was growing, it helped us to increase our organic footprint it also helped us to increase more referral, which was far better and a cheaper source of acquisition. We also had partner channel and alliances where we started acquiring customers where the cost was lower as compared to what we were spending earlier. So it was earlier in December 18, predominantly we were using Google searches or some social media to acquire customers. But over a period of time, our acquisition through our organic channels improved, and that is one of the reasons. Second is obviously our internal call center efficiency in the way we process the accounts of customers, the time which is taken to open an account. So all that are a part of improvements that we did over a period of time, which has helped us improve internal efficiency, at the same time also source customers through the channels, which are scalable, at the same time cost effective. So this is broadly the reason how we have reduced our cost.
Okay. Thank you. So one last question. So any guidance that you can give that we are planning to spend on advertisement and technology in next 1-2 years, like a broad number, or just percentage in terms of revenue that we would be looking to spend in next 1-2 years on these two fronts for?
Sorry, it would be difficult for me to give any guidance, but we continue to work on our cost of acquisition, and we always look forward to reducing that. At the same time, it should not lead to reduction in numbers. So as far as we are increasing our acquisition and reducing our cost of acquisition, I think we're good to go. It would be difficult for me to put a number of what spends we will be doing.
No worries, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Next question comes from Kajal Gandhi from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations for this set of numbers. Most of my questions are answered. Just one thing. What are we doing on steps to increase the F&O market share? Because that has been going down and volumes are rising.
Right. Yes, the derivative market share has been going down. So there were there are a few changes that we are doing. One is we are revamping our platform, which is the EXE and the web platform, which is largely used by trading community. So we are revamping and we are launching, which should be going out anywhere between next 15 days to 2 to 3 weeks. So that is one. We are working on also improvisation on our open API channel, which is again largely used by algo trading customers and the tech-based traders. So these are the two. And third is that we will be also working on our algo trading. So these three things that we are doing, but I think largely there was a requirement by traders to enhance our platform and make it more robust. That is what we are working on. We are just almost there to launch. And I'm sure with these products and features going live, our market share will also improve. Though our turnover is increasing, but our market share will also increase along with that.
Any key traits that we observe that F&O traders look for in a site?
Sorry, free trades?
Key traits or key things that they want in a site where they're saying that revamp is.
It's not just one thing. It is overall the user experience of the trading platform. Some features like maybe the basket trading is what people are asking, or a couple of more maybe there are some derivative strategies that people are asking for. So there are a few small features, nothing which is large, but it is a part of the overall user experience of on the EXE and the web platform which we are working on.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. That would be the last question for the day. I would now like to hand over the conference to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining this conference. I hope that we were able to answer your questions. And if you have any other questions, you can write it to ir@5paisa.com. And I hope all of you stay safe and healthy and at home. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of 5paisa Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant evening.
Thanks. Bye.